The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
So much build up ahead of this Federal Reserve policy decision. 2 o'clock Eastern, the policy statement. We will have it in hand. We'll be breaking that news at 2 o'clock Eastern here on Bloomberg Radio. Ben Bernanke's press conference at around 2:30 to talk with lots of reporters, get grilled on what the Fed has said and what it means. The big question, of course, will the Federal Reserve begin to reduce quantitative easing, the $85 billion a month in bond purchases it's been making to boost the economy? So what can we expect to hear in the policy statement, then from Ben Bernanke? We now get the expert opinions of two great guests. Joining us on the Ring Central phone line, we have Roberto Perli, partner at Cornerstone Macro, and formerly with the Division of Monetary Affairs at the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, so intimately involved in the formulation of policy statements and policy strategies. And Susan Phillips, finance professor at George Washington University and a former Federal Reserve Board governor. So she has sat at these meetings herself. She's sort of been there, done that. We're very happy to have both of you on the show today.
Thank you.
Roberto, hello.
Thank you very much.
Well, Susan, let's start with you. You know, it's been a few years since you've sat at that table, right? But you know that feeling. What's it like in that room today as they debate, get ready to put out a policy statement that one way or the other, for better or for worse, could definitely impact these markets?
Well, I hope by now they're having lunch, that they're finished and having lunch. It's always a lot of tension going into the meetings, and you know, each governor and each president prepares separately and individually, and there's a lot of curiosity as to whether or not other people around the tables, you know, opinions have changed, you know, and what's going on in the economy. So there'll be a lot of tension in there, and good constructive debate.
Roberto, what would make somebody stand up and take notice? Is it a change in stance on the part of one of the FOMC members, or is something that somebody hadn't noticed? I mean, what gets discussed?
Well, I think what would get investors notice is certainly if we see material changes to the statements, like in the first or second paragraph, changes to the outlook that are not expected, I think those could be clear signals that a reduction in the pace of QE is or is not imminent. I think that's one thing. And any change in the language in the fourth and fifth paragraph of the statement, I think that will also be very significant. The fourth and fifth paragraphs are where the Fed communicates forward-looking intention. So that's for the statement. Of course, I think the most important part of today will be the press conference and what exactly Bernanke will say there.
Susan, well, I'd like you to weigh in on something. We've had a couple of guests who said that when Ben Bernanke said starting around May 22nd, the last meeting, that the Fed could taper off in the next few meetings, depending on the economy. And if things suddenly looked a lot worse, they could taper back on, right? They could start buying bonds again. Some have said that they think that Ben Bernanke sort of misspoke and he didn't really mean to open the door and see bond yields, the 10-year note yield, jump. Is that your sense, or was this a deliberate opening the door, at least a crack, to an eventual move the Fed will make at some point?
Well, I think he was trying to say that, you know, at some point this program's going to have to wind down, and we're going to have to start getting out of it. And I think he's very passionate about trying to be transparent and prepare the markets. So I think it was opening the door not too wide, keeping options open, because you really never know until it's time to make the decision what the economic conditions are going to be right then and there. So you have to hedge a little bit, and I think that's what he was doing. But I think he was trying to tell the markets, you know, to start thinking about it.
Roberto, many of our guests in the last day or two have said that we've seen this sort of repricing now, this baking in of at least tapering maybe just a little bit sooner, and that nothing will happen really after this statement when it comes to bond yields, at least. What do you think?
I think that, so first of all, I agree that Chairman Bernanke was trying to be transparent, and you know, he always tells the truth. That's his greatest virtue, I think. tells what happened in the FOMC debate, and he relies it to the public, hoping that the public understands the Fed's reaction function. You know, the Fed has a very, I think, dovish message, has a three-part message that so far has not sunk in with investors. And the message is, yes, we might very well reduce the pace of QE because the economy is doing better than it was in September of last year when we started QE. But if the economy worsens during the summer, we will not taper QE or reduce the pace of QE. Second part of the message is once we start tapering or reducing the pace, we might go back up if the economy again slows down. And the third part of the message, which is probably the one that is the hardest for investors to understand, is, well, the earlier tapering or reduction in the pace of QE has nothing to do with earlier rate hikes. So investors seem to assume that an earlier tapering means necessarily an earlier rate hike. We have seen market reactions in that direction. The Fed has a challenge in communicating that this is really not the case. And I think they will continue, and especially probably at the press conference, they will continue to make that case until the market understands it. That's very important because the last thing the Fed wants today is see an increase in rates. That will be a tightening of financial conditions that will go against anything that the Fed has been trying to do of late.
We're going to continue this conversation. Getting ready, it's just about 20 minutes from now, the Fed's policy statement. We'll find out their view of the economy. We'll get their economic projections. Will we see some revisions that could underscore whatever their stance is on policy? 2:30 Eastern, Ben Bernanke's press conference will be carried live here on Bloomberg Radio. So happy we have two former Fed officials here to help us. Susan Phillip, former Fed Governor Roberto Perli, former senior staff economist at the board.
All right, we're about, 13 minutes away now from the statement from the Federal Open Market Committee, a much, much anticipated statement at this meeting in June. We'll also get forecasts, the central tendencies as well, from the Federal Open Market Committee. And have they changed? We will see. Many of our guests say at least the inflation ones will have changed. And we will then, at 2:30 Eastern, have the Federal Reserve Chairman have a press conference at which many intrepid reporters will be asking him some prizing questions. This portion of the Hays Advantage brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Time to consider a stock alternative. Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. All right, we'd like to welcome back to the programme our special guests, a roundtable on the Federal Reserve. We have Roberto Perli of Cornerstone Macro and also on the Ring Central phone line now, Susan Phillips, finance professor at George Washington University. Roberto, I want to ask you, because you said there would be three things that would be coming out of this statement, you believe, three sort of prime areas of attention. What then about the financial market risks? Bernanke has mentioned those before, and we definitely have had some people this week talking about the possibility of bubbles and how concerned the Fed is about bubbles.
Yes, so it's true that the Fed has tried to communicate in the past. Has been trying for several weeks or months, I would say, to send the same message. Unfortunately, because the message is somewhat complex and because it is even somewhat counterintuitive for investors, it has not sunk in. So the Fed has not been successful in conveying the message, in persuading the market that its intentions are to slow down QE only depending on the economic conditions, and not it has not made a decision yet, and especially that it will not raise rates anytime sooner just because it will slow down QE sooner.
Roberto, do you think that part of the issue here is that dependent on the economy, and Susan Phillips and Vani and you and me can all say, sure, you're watching the economy. When the economy gets stronger, that's when the Fed will start doing something. But if you're in the bond market, you're saying, hey, as soon as you say taper, as soon as you say reduce the pace of bond purchases, yields are going to start moving higher. The bond market is not going to wait. We saw that a month ago. Is that the issue, that what you say is so reasonable? But look, yields are very, very low. We've had negative real rates, right? Isn't this the thing that is going to trip up the Fed potentially as it tries to make this smooth shift? Market's not going to wait.
Absolutely. That's exactly the risk, and that's exactly the challenge that the Fed is facing. But look, let's view it this way. It is true that yields should increase for two reasons. One, the economy is better. Two, the amount of QE that the market is factoring in is less than what the market thought a month ago. So on that count, yields should go up. The question is how much. If you look at available literature, published literature, you conclude that these factors should account for about maybe at most 30 basis points increasing yield. The rest that we have seen in the recent weeks is attributable to a steepening in the federal funds futures market. In other words, expectations or fears that the Fed will start hiking rates sooner than expected. So the Fed has nothing against increases in yields that are attributable to less QE or a better economy. The Fed has a lot against increases in yields that are attributable to fears of earlier rate hikes. That's what it's trying to push back against. And of course, I think you're exactly correct. It's a tough message for the bond market to understand, but that doesn't mean that the Fed will continue to deliver that message. Historically, remember, the Fed has a history of being able to deliver its message. The Fed doesn't give up simply because initially the market doesn't understand what the Fed is trying to say. Look at 2004, look at even at 2011, when all this communication managed to flatten the federal funds future expected path. So I think we're going to see redoubled effort on the part of the Fed to make this point. Earlier tapering of QE does not mean earlier onset of rate hikes, and eventually I think the market will understand it, will buy it.
Susan Phillips, is there a danger that whatever the Fed chairman says today doesn't calm the markets and that tomorrow we get up and see, you know, a Japan-like incident where the market sells off, you know, by 7% or whatever?
Well, I'd be very surprised if that happened. You know, you can certainly have some unanticipated market reaction to whatever the chairman says, but you know, I'm reasonably confident that he's going to be very measured in what he says and try to be as clear as he possibly can. And, you know, a very strong reaction would be because probably the markets didn't understand. And so you get all kinds of volatility. And I think you also have to recognize this is not an easy thing for the markets to absorb. It is a complicated message. And they also recognize that people in the market sometimes hear what they want to hear and don't parse through to the basic message. So you can get some reactions that you don't want, but that doesn't mean, you know, as Roberto said, that the Fed's going to stop trying. They're going to keep trying to get the message out, and so that's why I think these press conferences are very helpful. But on the other hand, you know, if there is not a well understood reaction, they'll be back out there trying to get it corrected.
Okay, something. I let's start with you, Susan, weighing in on this. As you listen to speeches and from Fed officials, Fed bank presidents, governors, and certainly from Ben Bernanke, what is your sense of, to the extent the Fed is watching the economy for sure and doesn't want to stop buying bonds and see rates go up and choke off the economy or something? On the other hand, looking and saying, wow, you know, this balance sheet's getting bigger and bigger. The bathtub we're floating in is fuller and fuller. You know, at some point, is liquidity just going to spill out of the tub, and is it making no difference, and is it creating the possibility of excesses like the junk bond market rally, like stocks have leveled off now? What is your sense of how much those factors are being weighed now? Let's start with you, Susan.
Okay, absolutely. They know this can't go on forever, and they know they're going to have to unwind a lot of those assets that are on their balance sheet. And they're causing some distortions in the markets, and they're recognizing that. And of course, they're concerned. You know, are we getting back into a housing bubble? They're looking, you know, at all of these factors, but they also don't want to be the cause of a problem. And so, I think they're going to want to weigh very carefully when is the best time to do this, and I think there'll be plenty of notice to the market. Some folks may not like that, and there's likely to be some, you know, some volatility in the markets as a result of it. But they know this can't go on forever. But I do think that they're going to separate bond purchasing activity from the interest rate moves, and probably hold off on the interest rate moves until they're able to take some first moves on unwinding.
Susan, when you say there's going to be notice that this is going to happen, do you mean they will actually give a month, like this is going to happen from the October meeting?
They're probably not going to be that specific, but you know, you'll see increased discussion about the unwinding and how it can go about, and assurances of sort of the mechanics of how it can happen. But you know, they're not going to give that kind of definite, you know, in a month, because they don't know exactly what else is going to be going on in the markets in a month. So they're going to do it when they think the markets can absorb it in the most, you know, smooth fashion.
Roberto, you weigh in, please, on this this weighing, you know, of, gosh, adding more stimulus every month, because I think that gets forgotten. People ignore the fact that the Fed, by buying bonds every month, is easing more. Policy gets easier every month because the balance sheet gets bigger. If the Fed stopped buying bonds, they would still have an extremely accommodative and stimulative policy. Again, how does the Fed weigh that? Does the camp win out that says if the economy's not growing, just buy more bonds? Or does the camp win out that says at some point we're going to have to move away from this?
Oh, absolutely. So I think you make a very important point. It's very important to understand that continuing with QE means adding accommodation. Therefore, slowing down QE is not policy tightening. It's just providing less accommodation, and stopping QE is just remaining on hold at a very accommodative policy level. That's the way the Fed views it. I think it's the correct way to view it. Look at the economy and say, where's the economy today with respect to where it was in September of last year when the Fed started QE3? Clearly, according to almost any measure I can think of, it's better. And so the Fed is probably saying, look, we don't need, since the economy is better, we don't need to continue to provide additional accommodation. I think that's one of the calculations that they're making. The other has to do with the cost of QE, and I completely agree with Dr. Phillips here. There are costs to enlarge the balance sheet. The Fed knows that. And that's an important calculation that also goes into the final decision. So you have an economy that is better, and you have costs that are growing, both in terms of potential bubbles, financial imbalances, and possibility of losses down the road. If you put all this information together, it makes a lot of sense that the Fed is thinking today of eventually, you know, maybe in a couple of months, in September, to slow down the pace of QE. And I don't think they are thinking at all about hiking rates,
right,
as I said before. But to me, it is a perfectly logical thought sequence that I think the Fed will continue to try to communicate to the market.
All right. Well, now we're just moments away. Thanks so much to Susan Phillips. She's a former Federal Reserve Board governor. She's finance professor at George Washington University. Roberto Perli, he's a partner at Cornerstone Macro. He's a former senior staff economist at the Board of Governors Division of Monetary Affairs. Vonnie Quinn and I, Kathleen Hayes, thank you so much for joining us. We're just seconds away. We're going to know what the policy statement says, Vonnie, and we've got Carol Masser and Pim Fox in Studio 2 who are set to go.
Taking you right through.
Right through 2 o'clock, and of course, Ben Bernanke, 2:30 Eastern. That press conference will be carrying that live on Bloomberg Radio, so keep it right here. The excitement is building. Thank you for joining us on The Hayes Advantage. It's just one continuous show, though. Taking Stock is starting right now on Bloomberg Radio. We'll be getting those headlines momentarily.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.